Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. You want to have some fun?
Yeah, we want to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children Magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Stories for Children show at BTR's World of Ink Network with your hosts, Fiaz Grenier, Chris Quinn Christopherson, and myself, of course, Irene Rose. It's truly an honor to be here with you today. It's Monday, November the 28th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, Stories for Children can be listened to live every other Monday of the month here on the World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand as well at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes. Just search for World of Ink Network and you'll find our shows on iTunes. The chat room is open to post your questions as well. If you have a call-in question for our guest, please call 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259.
Thanks, Irene. You did such a great job. Man, my brain almost like went out on who you were. See, I'm still recovering from the turkey coma.
Oh, dear.
Well, I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know you're up in Canada, Irene. So what did you guys do this weekend?
We actually had a little bit of one, too. So.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting how a lot of, you know, My husband and I were just talking about that. I can't even think of the name of it. Oh, my gosh. And it's really bad because I lived in California. In May, the big holiday that happens down in Mexico.
Oh, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, thank you. I even lived
my
in
birthday.
San Diego, guys. I even lived in San Diego, and I'm like completely forgetting what it is. See, the turkey coma is still on. Because I mean, I lived in California a long time, but God, I want to say, I think when I hit my high school years is when Cinco de Mayo got really, really big in California, and then I went to college in San Diego, and oh my gosh, it was just like nuts. So it's cool how holidays in certain countries actually can transcend into, you know, other cultures, just because of how small the world's getting. I think I had a lot of, I think I had more happy Thanksgiving wishes from fellow author friends in Australia and the UK versus here in the United States. But most likely, and the reason most likely was because they were on Facebook, you know, doing their normal thing when all of us in the US were, you know, stuffing ourselves instead of the turkey. That was stuffed earlier. Now we're stuffing ourselves with the turkey. So, yeah. Anyhow, but it's great to be here today. I just quickly want to say that I lied a little bit in the last couple of shows when I said that I wasn't doing any shows in December. I will be back on December 5th with Marcia Cook. We're actually doing a combined show here on the Stories for Children show. Because Marcia is the host of A Good Story is a Good Story. So we're combining both our shows together on December 5th with a really interesting guest. I'm not going to say too much. But it's going to be all about the world of children's publishing and writing and all that stuff. So lots of information. It'll be really fun. And our guest today, Jan Britland, will actually be on that show again with us as well. So we want to welcome Jan to the show, and we'll get to know you today, and then you can share more with us in a week, too.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
No, it's great having you. Now, you're the author of the Roger Dodger Dog series, which is a children's book. But I I refrain from saying a picture book, because even though it is a picture book, it's not a traditional picture book in the sense that it has very little wording and lots of illustration, and that's it. I mean, there. I want to say, even though, yeah, your 3- and 4- and 5-year-old would love the book, I would say even your 9- and 10-year-old would, and possibly even your 11- and 12-year-old would enjoy these books as well.
Well, when I started, the first couple of stories, which were the actual first story that I ever told my children was Talented Dog. And it's a rather short story. It would make a great board book for someone, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I added on, you know, Finding Roger, which is not in print yet, but it's how I find him at the pound. And as the stories progress, because there are 20 of them, they get more more dialogue, more into, I mean, they would actually span into second and third grade by the time the whole series would be in print. But for right now, I have the 4 books with the 6 stories in them. So it's fun, and the kids love it, and I love doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I love them, too, because they're written in rhyme, but it's a very action-packed, humorous rhyme. It's not just your typical nice, I mean, it does have nice rhythm and beat and meter. I mean, don't get me wrong, everybody who's listening, I mean, it does, but it's very lively. it's a very lively written poetry is what it is. It's not, you know, just that you got the beat and you're like, okay. I mean, it's action packed, and the reason why you wrote the book that way is because you're dyslexic, and so it helps
yes.
you remember the stories, which I love, because I have slight dyslexia. I think this is the first time I've ever actually mentioned it. So I'm sure really, I didn't know that. Yes, everybody, I really do. so I have to stop and think about what I say sometimes too, because I'll flip words in my head very easily.
Yes.
But for those out there who write, because I know I teach a class at Dixie State College. Sorry, it's community ed. Their community ed program. And I've had a lot of new writers who come up to me like, you know, I have a speech impediment, or, you know, I have difficulties when I write because of whatever learning, you know, thing they had growing up. And I love this because here you have dyslexia, and you're not our first author. We've Tal Yaney, who was on our show a few months back, he's also dyslexic. It shows that just because you have some type of obstacle to overcome, it doesn't mean you can't be a writer. I mean, heck, I took freshman English 3 times, and I'm sure my English teachers hate when I bring that up every time, and they cringe. I don't tell people that, you know. But I always tell people, don't let those handicaps, and I use that word loosely, to hold you back from your dreams and your goals, because, I mean, here you are. You have a very successful series of books, and it hasn't hindered you. Actually, I think it's made your books really great because of that. It's something you turned to a positive.
Well, you know, the dyslexia, I mean, I am severely dyslexic, and I have to think probably the fun part of my books is if anyone was watching me work, because when I get through typing something, all of the letters are inverted. They're all I have to go back on all the words and put them in the right order. So it really is kind of fun to watch.
But, labor of love.
Oh, it is. And because the books are The Adventures of Roger Dodger Dog, I needed to have that kind of illustration as well. I needed to have where, you know, there was action in it. So they are very, they are cartoonish. They are, you know, with the action and all the color that goes with a cartoon type deal. And when I think of them now, and they play in my head like movies, and that's what I see. And even in the, like when Roger's in a yard and there's flowers, the flowers are doing the wave, because that's how they get their exercise. You know, I mean, it's when the wind blows. You know, it's just all this is going on in my head, and it's hard to get it all in there. But that's how I work, and it's been a lot of fun, and the books are a lot of fun too.
No, that's great. No,
they're great books.
What tips would you give? to parents, teachers, librarians, the average Joe, someone who has a kid who maybe wants to write, to to get their words down on paper, and to maybe if they have dyslexia or some type of learning, again, I use this word loosely, disability, to, help them see their dream or become a reality.
Well, I think the main thing is that, you just do it, get out there and do it. And because of my dyslexia, and because I am so, everything's backwards for me, and I'm also left-handed, so that also confuses things for me at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if someone's out there and they just do it, you can always find someone to help you edit or the parts that you're missing. There's always someone who will step in and take care of that for you. At least that's what I've found. When I write a story, I give it to my neighbor and I say to her, read it for me. Does it make sense to you? Because it all makes sense to me. But sometimes the way I put words, it doesn't make sense to her. So then she said, well, this, you'll have to change this and you'll have to do this. And I think all writers do that to some effect. But I get as much help as I can from professionals. And and you get it out there. You just keep working at it until you get it right, and then you take it to the editor, and you have the editor check it, and then they, wherever you go next, whatever you need, you have to keep going. You have to just do it. It's all very well worth it, let me tell you. It is the most fun you can possibly have. Writing for children, there's nothing like it in the world. And I've done a lot of things. So I kind of know that.
So you can hear the energy, too, in your voice. I mean, you absolutely love what you do, which is important. And that's one thing I tell a lot of people. I mean, if you want to write for money, and I'm not saying you can't. I mean, there's definitely people out there making money writing and doing it with books, doing it, with columns, being a freelancer. It doesn't matter. But in the children's world, I mean, you can make money in the children's world. But I think for the one, at least all the authors I've come across who have been very successful, and I'm talking – even authors I know who have made the New York bestseller list, all of them did this because they loved doing it. The money was just a bonus to what they did. And it's true. I mean, I think with kids, because they are such little literal thinkers, and, they don't see – they're not like, an adult. When you put something from an adult, they're like, oh, what's the catch? What's the double edge to the sword? We always think there's like something hidden that we can't see. There's always like this hidden agenda. With kids, they don't. I mean, what's in front of them, they take it face value. And so I think as a writer, if you don't love what you're doing and, really enjoy your characters and your story plot line and whatever it is you're trying to share, kids see through it. They'll see right through that in your writing. And, so I love the fact that Roger Dodger is so action-packed. And like you said, I mean, his illustrations, are done in very cartoon form because you can tell it's a fun book, and it's because you enjoy him and you have fun. Now, the story of Roger Dodger, which I know you touched on a little bit, started when you were, a mom driving kids to school. So, and I've read, of course, as you've been doing your World of Ink tour, your different stops. There was this dog that I guess was chained to a tree that would disappear up the tree.
we were changing schools. We were moving to a new community 45 minutes away. So I had to take them. I decided to start the new school year at the new school so they wouldn't miss out anything. So I would drive them this 45 minutes every morning, and going a different way, we would pass this beagle-type dog chained to a tree. And every morning then it got to be, well, where is he, And he was always there. And then a couple of times we'd see the chain was up the tree, and we'd say, oh, and I started calling him, I name everything, so I started calling him Roger Dodger. I said, oh, Roger Dodger's not out today. He must be in the house. And then one day we drove by when the chain was up the tree, and my son said, no, Mom, he's up the tree. I said, no, he's not. And my son said, yes, he is. So, of course, we turned around. We came back, and we took a look, and sure enough, there he was up there laying on a branch. I couldn't believe it. And so I said, oh, Roger Dodger is a dog, a talented dog is he, And it started the stories. And we had to do this drive for several months until, until we moved. And the stories just kept coming. And
wow.
It's like you said, I had them in rhyme. I started them the same way. It's always Roger Dodger is a dog, whatever kind of dog is he. And this time it was Roger has a talent for he can climb a tree.
Oh.
And they just kept growing and growing. And you know, Roger is like a family member to us. I mean, he, you know, he's been with my family, you know, when my children were growing up. And that's how they actually got into book form is my daughter, now that she has children of her own, she said, Mom, can you write them down for me? Which I did because I'm a good Grammy. And she read them to the children, and she said, you know, Mom, I hate to tell you this. I said, how do they love them? She said, well, they didn't quite get it because they really need the illustrations. So then I went in search of an illustrator, and I found an illustrator that I liked, and I had them illustrated. Then I made them into little book forms. You know how you do it with the little, you know, fasteners and things that children can't get hurt on, and I put them together, and I sent them to her, and she took them to school. And she read them to the kids, and they all loved them, and the teachers loved them, and that's what started it all. It was just a labor of love for my grandchildren. And
which, you know, everybody who's discovered Roger Dodger, of course, is very grateful for your kids pushing them and your grandchildren needing illustrations, because now we all get to enjoy the stories. And they really are adorable. Now, the first one is The Adventure of Roger Dodger Dog. Which, of course, you know, obviously covers him being up the tree, being clever, being strong. Now, so obviously we know that those were from, like, the very first ones. Then your second book is The Adventures of Roger Dodger Dog, and he gets to meet Mr. Glee. Did those stories come also from driving by the famous dog up the tree, beagle dog up the tree, or...
Yes.
Okay, because that was
there was
all
lots
of
stuff going
on, or if you've expanded upon them as time has gone on.
Okay, there's 20 stories now. There were 10 when we were through driving.
Uh-huh.
When we finally moved into the new house and we were through driving, there were 10. And actually there was 11, because there's one that I still have not been able to recover. It was a story about Roger driving into New York City and getting stuck on the ramp that takes them over the bridge. And
oh,
if you've ever driven in New York City and gotten stuck in traffic and you're the cause of it, it can get quite amazingly excitably fun, I guess, in my mind. And poor Roger was frazzled. So, but that one I haven't been able to recover. So it was really quite involved. But I can't help it. And, you know, so then... after having the books out for, it wasn't even a year, and it was time for Halloween, so I decided to make myself Roger for Halloween. And I decided to make Roger me, because I had already made a plush Roger, a stuffed Roger, to go with me when I read to children in schools.
Oh, that's great.
And so I made him put my wig on him and my glasses on him, and I made myself a full-body costume that, at the time, had a way too long neck. And so he was about 8 feet tall. And so he's kind of supersized. But he now comes with me when I go to schools and read.
Yeah.
And
the kids must love that.
Oh, my gosh. One of the news reporters in New Jersey said, you know, Jan Britland and her supersized Roger Dodger dog. And I kind of like that term, supersized. That's really what he is. And he dances when he first comes in. He dances to his theme song, and we do the whole thing with the kids. But what you're right about the children. When I read to them, even though Roger is acting out the stories behind me, they're riveted to the pages of the book as I turn them, because I stand and I in front of them and I read and I turn the pages. And if I turn to show some of the other children, the children in the front row turn like they're actually attached to the page.
Oh, wow.
It is the cutest thing I've ever seen. I don't know how anyone would want it, you know, I don't know. This is just the most fun I've ever had in my whole life. It is.
Well, the pictures just pop, don't they? They're just so wonderful. They're colorful and they're action-packed, too. So I can just see the kids being totally drawn to the pictures. They are.
They seem to. And what's nice about the illustrations is that even if a child can't read, if they're too young to read, after having the book read to them once or twice, or even, you know, they get it because they can see what's going on. The illustrations so depict what the story's telling.
Oh, it does, yeah.
So it's been fun. It's so much fun. I don't know about you, ladies, but I hope I can do this for many years.
No, that'd be wonderful. Going back to the illustrations, too, because I've seen a lot of blog posts recently and over the last few months, actually. It's been a really big subject. And I always say, well, because all the parents out there buying So Your Baby Can Read, because they see that commercial and the little three-year-old sitting there reading Charlotte's Web. But a lot of parents are starting to skip over picture books, not realizing the benefits of picture books. Because I think a lot of parents think, picture books are just, oh, you know, pictures and just fun for kids, but it's not really educating them or teaching them. And a lot of picture books have a lesson. I mean, all the Roger Dodger stories have lessons in them for kids to learn. But the pictures also help because, especially with the Roger Dodger dog, and that's why I was bringing this up, because when I read picture books with my children, when they're not able to read yet, when, you know, they're before even beginning reader age, I can just look at the pictures with them and say, oh, what do you think is happening in this picture? And some picture books, I'm not knocking all picture books, but some picture books, the illustrations, as beautiful as they are, they're just more subtle. And so, you know, your kids have to really think sometimes. And so sometimes those picture books are harder for kids to really understand what's happening in the story. But with how action-packed and vivid the illustrations are in Roger Dodger, as a parent, you could, before you even read the words, you could sit with your child and say, so what do you think is happening here? And what do you think is happening here? And actually take the pictures and let your child tell you a completely different story, and then go back and say, well, let's see if that's really what happened, and then read the story. So I love that because it's a great teaching tool, especially your series of books, for kids to, you know, to learn beginning, middle, and end, to look at pictures to help them understand comprehension, and then, again, read the story, which is in a very simple but action-packed rhyme, which I think is easy for kids to remember because it's fun, you know,
sure.
to learn the story and learn to read and to identify those words, too.
Yeah, I, you know, I've gotten so many letters from parents and grandparents who tell me the same thing, that the children, you know, they'll, and even after they've read it to them, they'll sit with the, you know, with the book, even though they can't read, and they'll just about tell the whole story all over again because it is that easy. And I think it's important. And I think rhyme is important. So,
yeah.
You know, that's how I learned to read, was through rhyme, because I couldn't sound letters out because letters didn't make sense to me.
Right.
You know, when I look at a letter, I don't see what you see. I see something else. So the rhyming, I had to kind of remember things through rhyme. So that's kind of, and my daughter's dyslexic, so, you know, she gets it. You know, it's like, thank goodness.
Did you find it difficult explaining the difficulties you have reading in not so a preachy way, do you think?
I'm sorry, what?
What like, was that? Did you find it difficult to talk about your dyslexia and things in a non-preachy kind of way, kind of put it in kids' terms? Was that difficult for you?
You know, no. To put it in terms, well, when I was younger, they didn't know what dyslexia was.
Sure.
And then when I got to a certain point, they said it when I was younger, they just considered it being lazy. They knew that they know you're not stupid or not slow or not anything, you know, they just think that you're lazy, you're just not applying. Where today they know all of that. And when my daughter was reading the, between kindergarten and first grade, she was reading the alphabet to me and she kept saying the same letter for several different letters. I knew she had a problem. And she, I think she might even be worse than I am, and I'm really bad. Mm-hmm. So, but I try when I talk to children. There's actually a school in New Jersey that I, and it's all children with dyslexia, and they have colored Mylar sheets that they put over the words, and apparently it's the way the eye refracts light, and they can then read those words and comprehend them the way you and I do. But to try to explain it to somebody, it's very difficult. because they don't understand that what I'm seeing isn't what you're seeing.
Right,
it's
right.
It's almost like I'm seeing a foreign language that I don't understand.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah, that's really hard. Yeah.
But it's all good. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about, Jan, have you thought about writing a book to help parents with kids with dyslexia? Since, I mean, with everything you've learned from writing the Roger Dodger book series and just, you know, your own experience with it, have you ever considered that?
I have been so busy with the Roger Dodger dog series, putting out, because it's a relatively new series, and putting out the four books and in the last 3 years, I have been consumed by it. But I have had people ask me about that, especially from the different schools, and it is something that I should consider doing because, you know, knowing what it's so frustrating not to be able to understand, and it's, you know, it's really hard, but, you know, I should really consider that, and I should really do it, and I could probably do it in a fun way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I put my mind to it.
Yeah, well, here's something that I'm here to talk about, maybe having one of him, because, I mean, I know he's made various friends in the four books. I mean, you know, in the first book, you learn about him and the friends he does has. In the second book, you know, he meets Mr. Glenn and a few other people. In the third, you know, he saves Bunny, and so now he has Bunny as a friend. And then he gets to the fourth one where they're celebrating Christmas. But, I mean, even if Roger has, like, a friend who ends up being dyslexic, I mean,
that's
so great, you know, because it is a problem. I mean, it runs in my family. Like I said, I'm slightly that way. I'm not anywhere nearly as bad as you. I mean, I can see stuff, and I see it probably like most people do. However, if, you know, you took the word, which just happened recently, and I know I'm an editor, so I have to really look at each word, and I go through when I edit multiple times for this reason, but, you know, like the word accept and expect, just flipping the C's and the P in there is really easy for me not to catch if I'm skimming. If I don't actually sit down and read and look at every word specifically, I will miss something like that. Just like tired and tried, it's really easy for me to miss that as well because of the I and the R. So mine's not as bad, but it is there. And so, you know, it is definitely a problem. It runs in my family as well, and so I just think that'd be great. But I want to talk more about your books, too, just about dyslexia. That's not what the show's about. It's about you and Roger Dodger. So he has also visited Disney World, correct, Roger Dodger? You've had a chance to go and read your books and have Roger show up at Disney World, I think, is what I saw in one of your blog stops.
Yeah. What it is, it's Best Friends at Walt Disney World. Now, Best Friends at Walt Disney World is their pet care facility.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to Disney World, you have to have a place to put your pet. Well, they built this beautiful, unbelievable, state-of-the-art hotel for animals.
Wow.
And one of their perks is that if they're in a VIP, and they have televisions where they play movies all day long for the animals. I mean, it is, if I go to Disney World, I would like to stay there because it's just so amazing to me. And they invited me up. They read my books to their pets, to the animals, to their guests.
Oh,
so they invited me to come up and do a YouTube video for them. So I got to frolic around in Roger Dodger through their whole facility. And it was really, it's on YouTube, and it's kind of fun. And my whole family came with me, and we filmed it. And yes, it's up there at Walt Disney World at Best Friends Pet Care, which is, Roger is also the mascot for the Animal Welfare League here in Charlotte County, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to all their events, and the children can, you know, visit with him and all kinds of stuff. And I read my books to them, and the books are available at there for the benefit of the Charlotte County Animal Welfare League. But Roger gets around. He also has some plush, you know, like the flat Stanleys are flat and you put them in an envelope. Well, Roger is a plush dog, and he travels the world. He's been across the United States several times, and he's been to Costa Rica. He's been to China, and now right now he's in Loch Gleli. I hope I'm saying that right. Lochlally, Scotland, and he will be there through Christmas holidays. So I can't wait to see the pictures that come out of there.
Oh,
and
wow.
And after that, he's going to Russia and Germany to host family. And I'm kind of upset because I wish I could put myself in the box and ship myself to
travel
Iraq
with him.
What if that'd be
he
nice?
He gets around. And he's promoting early reading. The books go with him, and whoever the guest is, the host family, I should say, takes him to the schools in the area. He's going to be going to Scottish Parliament. And, people just really enjoy having him and sharing him with the children in their community at the different schools and such. And it's a fun thing. And it's fun when I get, I got the picture of Roger on the Great Wall of China. I was like, wow, I'll never get there. Roger's there.
Now, how do people sign up to host Roger in their community and to have him visit? I mean, is there like a site that they can go and sign up so he can visit them as his flat self? Or
he has a fan page, a Facebook fan page, a Roger Dodger Facebook fan page. And if you go on there, a couple of things you can do there. You can find out when I'm going to be visiting your community to come read at your school with Roger, or you can sign up to be a host for Roger. And, you know, Roger goes out, and even when Roger gets lost, and a couple times Roger's gotten lost, like someone will forget they have him, he eventually shows up. I get an email or something. I found this dog in the closet. Is he yours? So he comes back to me over and over again.
That's
so
cute.
It's really good. It's all
That's
fun.
Cute. Sounds good. Like, now, what I love with everything you've done, which we haven't mentioned, is you self-published the Roger Dodger book series. See, a lot of people think, oh, she must be with this big publisher, and that's why there's all this stuff behind it, but no, you're your own marketing guru. I mean, I'm sure you have people helping you. I mean, obviously, you're doing the World of Ink tour, so the whole entire Stories for Children team is behind you this month and helping get the word out. But you're
exactly.
doing most of this on your own and,
right.
and self-published these books on your own. So what has that process been like? I mean, because you've been very successful.
Well, in the beginning, I didn't know anything, and which I guess everybody starts that way. But when I started, it was 2009, and I did everything the SCBWI, which is the Society for Children Books Writers and Illustrators. They come out with a manual every year, and they tell you what you're supposed to do and, you know, how you're supposed to do it to get published. Well, I did everything they said, and I had the children's market, and I went through there, and I did everything they said. And by the time my manuscripts would get to an editor that I had researched and thought would be perfect for the Roger Dodger series, at that point in time, the publishing houses were going through such turmoil and such downsizing, budget cuts and such, that by the time my manuscripts got there and by the time the next SCBWI magazine came, those editors were gone. In some cases, even their imprints, which is the label that they print under, they publish under. So I wasn't going to do it myself, and because I'm trying to learn English, the English language the way you all know it, in the correct order, I went to a workshop and no one else showed up, and the professor sat with me and he went through my stories and he said, you really should get these published, and it was kind of his encouragement. So I did. I started publishing them, and I haven't regretted it. I'd be still sitting here probably with a box of manuscripts, and I've said it before, a box of manuscripts, and instead I'm sitting here with 2 or 3 years full of wonderful memories and beautiful children I've met and the cute little comments they make, and it's hard, but it's so worth it. And I think formatting was the biggest problem. I didn't know how to format, and then I found a man who helped me with that. So it's funny because I've gone around and just by talking to people, it's amazing how many people are willing to give of themselves their time to help you. And it's just amazing. It just makes your heart sing to think that all these people are out there hoping that you make it and you do well and they're willing to give of their time. So I've been very blessed with it.
Yeah, and that's very true, especially in the children's and young adult market. That's like one of the biggest things I tell my students in my class when I'm teaching is, marketing starts way at the beginning. And the soft side of it is the connections you make and finding the people that are like talented or, you can build upon each other's talents because eventually, exactly what you said, the support's there and you end up helping each other up the ladder of success. I mean, it might be in different capacities, your success, but you do help each other up and that's so important if we didn't support each other because I think we're all out for ourselves like a lot of industries are. I don't think the writing world would be as successful as it is. And I think the overall goal, is we all want to see, especially in the children's market, kids reading. We all have that same goal. And so if we don't support each other, kids aren't going to be reading because we're going to be too busy being cutthroats, and that's not the way we are.
No, I actually only ran into one person early on when it was just a manuscript and there were no illustrations, and she was a friend of a friend, and she was published. And she traditionally published, and I sent her the manuscript, and she said, oh, that's just adorable, it's this, it's that. And I said, well, would you mind introducing me to your agent? And she said, oh, no, I can't do that. And I said, well, why not? I thought you liked him. She goes, oh, no, I like them, but if he takes you on, it might mean one of my books don't sell. It was only once. It was only once. But,
There are a few out there like that. But the majority of the industry isn't, and that's great that you've only had the encounter with one and not, a handful of them. I've had one in my path as well, but I think it's great and the Arcute books, and I'm glad you did. You didn't let the downsizing and out of business signs stop you from publishing because it is very discouraging. A lot of authors they see that, and Marcia and I joke about this all the time on our shows that you don't really become a professional author until you get that first rejection.
I got mine on 1st of May, by the way.
When you get that first rejection letter,
it hurts.
You're like, yes, I'm finally a professional. I've been rejected. it's true. And
I got mine on May 5th. I was getting ready to go out for my birthday, and I got the rejection.
Oh.
And I was going out with all my friends, and I was so excited. And they said, but Jan, you understand this is rejection. I said, yes, but don't you understand there's really someone out there.
And they read it, and they read my manuscript, and that's all you think about. My husband thinks I'm nuts because I have a drawer, literally a drawer, a file cabinet drawer, full of rejection letters on and it's not just book manuscripts, articles, short stories, poetry, all kinds of stuff. And my husband is like, why are you keeping? I said, because every time I get an acceptance, I look at that drawer and say, I'm one step closer.
All
you people said was not possible. It's kind of like that drawer of we don't think you can make it, and you're sitting there going, I'm going to prove you wrong.
It's just I keep thinking I very rarely get down, but when I do, I go online and I say, I put in, successes, people who had rejected, people who have had rejection and still succeeded, like Walt Disney didn't succeed in anything in his life until he came up with Mickey Mouse, and Colonel Saunders took his chicken recipe to 1,009 restaurants before somebody actually took it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I wanted to know, did he carry a chicken with him, or was it just the recipe?
I was just, it's funny you bring that up, because just the other day I was watching the story of the famous Amos cookies. His story is just phenomenal, because he, which I don't know if very many people know, but Amos is actually an African-American, and he grew up during some of, when human rights for blacks was, that Martin Luther King. I mean, it was during that time, and him to become the successful man that he did, being a man of color, is just amazing. His story, I was like, oh my gosh, talk about a success. And it was just a recipe that his family passed down and that he just improved upon and people loved. And, eventually he ended up becoming very successful for it. But, I mean, he had a lot of roadblocks. So I think it's true. I mean, it's really about determination, and you show that. And obviously, you know, the stories share that as well. You know, you can accomplish anything if you're determined and willing to work hard and, you know, rely on the support of those around you and all of that. And so it's just, you know, we hope that more Roger Dodger dog books come out soon. You have, it sounds like, lots of them to still share with us, because it is phenomenal, and you're just an amazing writer and talented.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You are.
It's been great. It's been great watching you through this whole month with the tour and just learning more about you. I mean, I've known about you for months because of Marcia Cook, and, you know, you've been on her show with her and stuff, but, you know, actually getting to know you and working with you during this tour is just, it's been a phenomenal thing, because I've put my personal writing on the side burner for a while right now, just so I can focus in on helping other authors and my editing side of what I do. But it encourages me when I do get ready to sit back down and start pinning out my own stories all over again to see them out there in the public eye. Now, you also hope to eventually see Roger Dodger become a cartoon. And I know a lot of picture books, I don't want to say recent ones because not all of recent picture books have, but picture books over the test of time have made their way onto the TV screen. Like my picture book, Babysitting Sugar Paw, some of the inspiration came from a picture I saw when I was taking a writing class, but some of it also came from, I can't think of it, the Max and Ruby cartoon,
oh, right.
Which is actually was originally a picture book series. So
right.
What are your plans with that? Because I know you've mentioned that a few times, that's your dream, is to eventually see him actually hit the TV screen and to share his adventures in live action with the kids, you know, across the country and hopefully around the world on TV. So have you started working on that process yet, or is that something that, you know, after you get a few more books out, you're going to start working on? Or,
well, I'm working on it, and right now I have two screenplays finished for it, the first two episodes, mm-hmm. and I know that everyone tells you that's really not necessary. All you need is the concept and all of that, but I thought in order to see if I could actually get it to where I would like it, you know, with all the action and the bugs, and I can hear the, you know, the munching of the leaves by the caterpillars and all this stuff. And it's been a lot of fun doing it. And right now I have an agent in L.A. who's looking at it, who does this sort of thing, and I haven't heard back from him yet. And I'm very hopeful, because what else can you be? And I would be very happy if I could get someone to do it in an animated way, either as an app, because mm-hmm. sometimes you have to start that way nowadays, and mm-hmm. or as a cartoon series. You know, either way, the digital format, even, you know, I'm up for anything. You know,
I think kids would love it. I really do. Kids would really love it.
Well, that's
Thank
what I was going to say. There was something I came across, and I'll have to find it and email you, Jan, about it, because my son and I had forgotten about it, because it was months ago my son showed. My son is like the YouTube guru in our house. I mean, he's just YouTube, if he's not on World of Warcraft. And it's called the Duck Song. Is if you search for the Duck Song, it was interesting, which I didn't know. And my son just played it the other day for his, not his youngest sister, but my middle daughter. And the most obnoxious song in the world, and it's like in my head now because I mentioned the dang thing, but well, no, it starts up with I'm just going to say the words, but it's the duck walks up to the lemonade stand, and he says to the man running the stand, "Do you have any grapes?" And it goes dun dun dun, and then the man said no, something like, "We only serve lemonade." Anyway, it's like nice and sweet and fresh and homemade or something. And anyways, the duck waddles away and stuff. But it's a book. It's an actual picture book. Because my son, when he was playing it, I'm like, you know, because there's like a couple other versions now to the song, and they have a few other ones. And so I was looking at it a little bit more intently. I'm like, what the heck? And I started doing a search. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is a picture book. And this thing has had, I don't know if it's had a million hits yet or not.
Oh, my gosh.
It's had quite a few hits. And I'm just, as you're talking about this, and you're like, I'm looking at it anyway, just I'm thinking, you know, I'll have to send you the email and the link to this thing because maybe that might be a way for Roger Dodger. I mean, heck, I mean, Fred from YouTube was on iCarly, you know, and now has, like, the Fred movie and just did a holiday Fred movie. And, you know, he was just this kid that started off on YouTube making his own YouTube videos. I mean, it's amazing how the industry has changed and how you be, how you can get your name and your work out there. In this
it
world.
Is.
It's
it
not,
is. And
the
I mean,
traditional ways are, you know, and that's why you mentioned the app thing. I'm sort of thinking, you know, this might be something else for you to look into because since you said he already, since Roger Dodger already has his own theme song and stuff, I'm sort of thinking, you know, you probably could do something like that. You know, even if it's just, you know, a short little clip just to kind of get the idea going. I can
right.
see it.
Well, thank you. Yes, and his theme song, by the way, does get annoying as well. After a while, it's like, oh, no, not another Roger Dodger dog thing.
And I can't talk because I'm sure everybody who listens every Monday to the Stories for Children show is just like, can you stop with the Stories for Children Stanley singing song, our theme song? Of course, I love that song. Our old fiction editor, Gail Jacobson Husett, wrote the words to that song for us a couple of years ago.
Oh,
and so I love the song because it's fond memories of Gail as well for me. But, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people listen to that song. Like, I know my son does. He's like, oh, great, I hear that pipe again because I'll play it so often. He's like, you're playing that theme song, aren't you? I'm like, I love the pipe. He's like a little piper.
It's all necessary. I mean, you know, these things are all necessary. The theme songs, no matter how annoying or, you know.
Kids love it.
We're talking about annoying after the thousandth time, you know. It's a little different.
Well, I always tell my husband when he always talks about things, like, what is it? I'm like, with people in the children's industry with the repetitive redundancy of annoyance, I'm like, it's only like that for us adults. The kids love it.
The kids love it, yeah. And I do have the YouTubes out. I have several of Roger riding a bike and for bike safety. I have him at Halloween going out with the children. Our town is very active in all that and all the different things. And there are a lot of videos out there, YouTube videos, with Roger's theme song as the background. So I just keep thinking people probably in my town probably put him on and turn the sound down. Not again.
Yeah, well, and I know you have the Roger Dodger books, book trailers as well out there on YouTube because we have them on your tour page at Stories for Children Publishing under the World of Ink tab. So, but I was just thinking, you know, actually, you know, if you could get that illustrator of yours to maybe do some action pack somehow and tie them into YouTube, that'd be actually a very fun thing to actually turn like into an actual cartoon like YouTube, not just the trailers and the what do they say? It's the larger than life Roger Dodger dog outriding his
super
bike.
Sized. The super
yeah,
sized
super sized
Roger
Dodger outriding his bike.
Right. But.
Well, it's been a blast having you on the show today, Jan. I can't believe how fast I think this show's felt.
Oh yeah.
Like it hasn't
wow.
even been a full hour. I mean, it's been one of our faster shows because it's just been fun. So those who want to learn more about you and Roger Dodger Dog and those who want to get Roger Dodger Dog as stocking stuffers for Christmas, hint, hint, where can they learn more about you, purchase the books, all that fun stuff?
Well, of course, they can go to, you know, Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, and you can go to the Roger Dodger Dog website, which is www.RogerDodgerDog.com. All words spelled with a D, Roger and Dodger and Dog. And if they're interested in a school visit, just email me through the website, and I'll set something up. I'll make an effort to get there.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
and there's also a game on Roger's website for little ones. It's the Help Roger Find His Friends game. And when the children click on the animal that's lost in the woods, an animal fact comes up about that animal. So it's kind of fun.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Very educational in every which way informed, but in a fun way.
Yes, mm-hmm. we try.
And kids like that, you know. Well, I should say kids like that. Parents like that. Kids learning without them realizing they're learning.
yes.
Which is
that's,
nice.
That's
really wonderful.
Can't beat that. And
yes,
for those
sure.
of you who are. And then for those of you who are listening as well, you can go to the storiesforchildrenpublishing.com website, and under the World of Ink tab, you will see Jan Britland's name, and you can click on that and read about her four books and the Roger Dodger book series that are out. Those little blurbs or ISBN numbers. Her links are there as well. I think we have all of them or most of the YouTube trailers on the books there as well. So you can see the little book trailers, which is always fun. And then, of course, always on the right-hand side is all the different blog stops that she has had, from interviews to guest posts on different subjects, from writing and Roger Dodger, spotlights, book reviews, lots of fun stuff there as well. So definitely check that out. And then tomorrow, I want to say it's tomorrow, I have to look. I know Marcia's listening to me today. No, not tomorrow. I'm sorry. December 2nd. So that's what? Is that Thursday?
Friday. No, it's just Friday.
Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you talking about Marcia's show?
Yeah, Marcia. A good story is a good story.
December 5th.
Yeah, no, not December 5th. No, she has another one. She has a special.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, there it is. It's Friday. Friday, December 2nd. So Friday this week. A Good Story is a Good Story. It has a special edition with Marcia Cook. And that is going to be at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I had a look. And she has two guests on her show. And they're teaming up and they're talking about how to prevent child abuse. So that will actually be a very interesting
wow.
show to listen to. And then, of course, on December 5th, so a week from today, will be the Stories for Children and A Good Story is a Good Story show. So it'll be myself and Marcia Cook teaming up, and we'll have Jan Britland with us again and a special guest as well, talking about the world of children's writing. So that will be very fun discussion. So anybody who's thought about writing children's and young adult books, to those who are, it doesn't matter, beginning to experience, this will be a show you won't want to miss. So definitely tune in a week to our show as well. And that's it. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and I hope you're all coming out of those turkey comas. I'm definitely not yet, so hopefully by Wednesday I will be. And, real quickly, too, since we didn't get the November issue of Stories for Children magazine out in a timely manner for various reasons, mostly technical, the holiday issue of Stories for Children magazine will probably be a week to a week and a half out from when it usually is released. So there's going to be a little bit of delay, but we want to give the November issue a little bit more time out on the stand. So about the second Monday of December, we'll have the holiday issue out for everybody. So just so you guys know. And thank you all for listening, and thank you, Jan, again, for being on the show. It was just a blast having you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you,
having
Jan.
Me. Thanks.
Take care, everyone.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.